So I really need to talk to Todrick P. Butts about where the hell's our intro song. Gave him all the files, gave him everything. Still haven't gotten it yet. So you're with us here in the Soderstrom bubble. I am Scotty Waz. That is Jen HL History Girl. Say hi.
Hi.
There you go. missed last week because we just missed it.
Yeah.
It was All-Star weekend. We were taking our All-Star break. So we were going to do like a history of the All-Star game. I think we've done that before. I'm not sure. I'll have to go in the archives.
Yeah.
We might have done that before, but whatever. We're here now. And we're going to talk some Jagr stuff. Because if you hadn't heard, congratulations on waking from your coma. B, Jaromir Jagr was sent to Kladno of the Czech Republic League after the Flames waved him and no one picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty much a curtain call, something that should have happened at the beginning of the year rather than the end, you know, the middle of the year. But
yeah.
Everyone starts to get all reminiscent about Mr. Jagr.
Yeah. Now watch some people bring him back for like 2 games next year or something.
Oh, he'll find a way to get a trade and come back, and everyone's like, oh, he's back again. Oh, my God, I'm so happy. How is he going to be remembered? How is he in the grand... Because he was, I would say, one of the first big young stars to come out of the Eastern Bloc.
Yeah.
For the new generation era.
Mm-hmm.
What's his legacy going to be now that it's over in the NHL?
I think he's going to be sort of the secondary Gordie Howe. The longevity, the physicality, the scoring, the point totals. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's, you know, right up there with Gordie Howe. And I think he will probably be this generation's sort of Gordie Howe type figure.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good assessment. 22 years in the NHL? 2021?
Yeah, he's been in the NHL since 1990.
And he took those years off in the KHL.
3 years off, yep.
Yep.
And he's seen all 4 of the work stoppages.
Mm-hmm.
The 92 strike, the 94
lockout.
94 lockout.
04 lockout.
04 lockout and 2012.
Oh, yeah.
So, yep. He's seen all of them.
Seen it all, baby. he's done... Oh, man. The mullet itself.
Yes.
I was listening to Puck Soup, and everyone's just like, you know what? Everyone had a mullet, but for some reason, his stands out to this day. I don't know why.
Probably because his was huge. Like it was...
And it was something where he wore it. He wore it well.
He really cultivated it.
Yeah. So in the time that he cut the mullet... People were kind of...
Yeah, and people really kind of freaked out. And he's like, well, you know, I'm not a boy anymore. And plus, my girlfriend doesn't like it, so...
Well, and I also think there was a rumor going around that the IOC doesn't... Or the IIHF doesn't like the nameplates being covered in the players.
Yeah,
and
I know.
That was a kind of a thing, too.
Yeah.
I'll always have bad memories of him.
Of course you will.
Not only for being a Penguin and breaking the Caps' hearts all the time. But for when we went to the Capitol, it was just a out-and-out cancer and pretty much admitted as much.
Yeah.
Like...
It should have worked out. Like, that's the thing. It really should have. Like, on paper.
Him and Bondra on the right side. Yeah. It's a hell of a 1-2 right side matchup there.
Yeah.
I mean, shit.
Well, Jagr's the whole reason I started liking hockey in the first place, so...
So yeah. He's the blame.
It's his fault.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, three Stanley Cups. 2 with the Penguins, 1 with the Bruins.
No.
Did he not win 1 with the Bruins?
No.
Oh, they played Chicago, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I can't remember.
No, he's had 2 Stanley Cups. He's played more playoff games than 11 teams.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen a lot of teams come and go.
Of course, most of those teams are like expansion teams, like the Wild, the Preds, Columbus, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. He's seen a couple teams relocated.
More than a couple. And see Minnesota to Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Quebec to Colorado.
Uh-huh. Whalers.
Yeah, Hartford to Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Winnipeg to Arizona.
Atlanta
to Winnipeg.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Five.
And he's seen all of the modern expansion. Because he entered league.
He went in with the Sharks, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came in 90, so, yeah. He's seen all of the modern expansion.
So. I don't think he scored against the Golden Knights, I was going to say. He scored against every team, but nope.
No. Maybe that's why they'll bring him back for, like, a game next year.
Yeah. Right? And the Golden Knights will sign him so he can score in that building and say, oh, yeah, he did it, everybody. Yeah. Wee.
He's the oldest player to have a hat trick.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How old? Was it recent? Like,
it was, I want to say it was 2015.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
With the Panthers and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, so he was 43, I think, when he did it. Just slightly older than Gordie Howe, Teemu Selanne, and, who's the other one?
Meth? No, not Meth.
I want to say Mark Recchi.
That sounds right, yeah.
But yeah, yeah. So, like, those are the oldest players to
score
hat tricks. Yeah.
What is this love for nostalgia that we have for guys like Jágr and Selanne? Like, honestly.
Because it's our childhood, and it's still right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
I guess this is the way people felt about Gordie Howe and Maurice Richard and stuff retiring.
Yeah.
But they didn't incessantly want them to come back, and I don't think the guys wanted to come back kind of thing.
No.
I don't get this whole thing of I'm going to play until I'm ancient. Just like it almost feels like you're tarnishing the...
Yeah, but for some of these guys, you got to understand, like, this is literally the only thing they've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jágr started when he was 7. This is literally the only thing he's ever done.
Sure.
You know, it's the same thing with Gordie Howe. Like, he played baseball, but that was just fun. That was, you know, that was what he did during the summer.
Right.
You know, he was really good at it, but it wasn't a professional thing for him. He didn't have a higher education. Neither did Maurice Richard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this was literally the only thing they'd ever done.
Yeah.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
So, what, you know... What do you do?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Jágr at least owns a team.
Yeah.
In Kladno.
Yeah.
He owns them. And I mean, I don't know.
He's the majority owner. His dad actually
owns.
Yeah.
Owns the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess the question now is who's the next guy?
Who's going to
be the next guy?
The next, like, Gordie Howe type guy?
Or who's the next guy people are going to want to try and keep around? Like, who's the people that latch on? Now Teemu's gone. Jágr's gone.
Yeah, Koivu left. Teemu left. Jágr's gone. You know, it's really going to be this second generation.
So there's pretty much not anyone wants to, like, there's no player out there anyone wants to see.
No, because most everyone people wanted to see retire around 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really going to be that millennial set that people are probably going to fixate on.
So, like, our Ovechkins, your Crosbys.
Our Ovechkins, our Crosbys, our Duncan Keith is one that I see people really latch on to, which is interesting. I'm like, well, that's a choice.
Right.
I don't understand. It's a choice. You know, it's probably going to be Ryan Getzlaff.
Maybe.
Like, that generation.
I get it. The mid-2000s. I'm just trying to think of...
Yeah.
Like, guys that I would give a crap about if they left. But, I mean, it's the situation where, like, when Jágr said he was going to come back and he was, like, begging to come back to anybody, I just thought about just, no, like, Terry Funk's still wrestling. He's, like, on his
he's like
35th
70.
Retirement tour this year alone.
Yeah.
And, like, he's still doing these hardcore Japanese death matches. I'm like, what are you doing, Grandpa? Stop it. You're ruining the legacy we had of you.
Well, but this also started several years ago with Mark Recchi making a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Theo Fleury Claude Lemieux trying to make a comeback. So it's not... He's not the only one. I mean, there have been others who've tried to do it.
Well, Jágr didn't make a comeback. Jágr just didn't get signed for a while. Like, he didn't retire and say, you know what, I'm going to come back again.
No, but I mean, it's not like a precedent, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like, he didn't... Like, he went off to Europe and he came back, and then he didn't get signed. But he still... he was still able to come back and get a team to, mm-hmm. to sign him. So even though he was gone, it didn't mean he was retired. But I mean, there've been he's not the first to.
Well, no, he's not. But what I'm trying to say is that he never retired from the NHL officially.
No.
Like, he went over to the KHL and did his thing there.
Yep.
It's not like Theo, who was out of hockey for years.
Right.
Or Claude, who was out of hockey for years. Like all these other guys. I mean, Recchi was still kind of into hockey. I mean, Tamu took friggin' 6 months off and then came back before the trade deadline.
Yeah, like Christmas.
Yeah. He came back and he's like, oh, no, this is fine. It's on the up and up, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, didn't Matt Sundin do the same thing?
Did he? I'm not sure.
He took like the first 2 months of the season off and then...
Could have. It's highly possible.
Yeah.
And then he went to the Canucks and everyone's just like, this is weird.
Yeah, people still yell at me for that. Like every time I tweet something about it, they're like, that never happened.
Right? God, are there any more players that were so hollowed in one area that go to the Canucks and die? I mean, Messier and Sundin and Felix Potvin to an extent. Like, I don't know, something about the stuff in the water up there. It's kind of weird.
Well, I think the Sedins are going to be a big one when they retire. That's going to be a big one for people.
Yeah, I think so, too, especially in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys meant so much to the organization, but I think they'll be fine considering Bo Horvat and Brock Besser. And
sure.
The only thing they don't have is goaltending. But they're hoping Thatcher Demko can maybe...
Oh, doesn't that grow on trees? I mean...
Right.
You just go out to a goalie school and go, hey, you.
You're starting goaltender's number 25. Like, I don't trust a goalie who has a number of 25. Like, come on. You're not Jan Lasek. Stop it. Yeah, so...
I think people are going to have a hysteria fit when Henrik Lundqvist retires.
Why? Because he's pretty?
I don't think he's necessarily, like, the most talented. He's talented. But I don't think
he's a systems goaltender.
Yeah.
Cam Talbot thrived in that. All the backups thrived in that system.
Yeah.
And all the fans were just like, well, maybe he could be number one there.
But people have a weird nostalgia about goalies, too.
Sure, and I can understand that.
Because I mean, I have it.
Yeah,
so.
They're quirky and stuff. But my thing is that Lundqvist, and I've said this forever and a day, he's the Dan Marino of the NHL. He's a guy who is a great individually. Team around him stinks.
Yeah.
The system that Alain Vigneault builds up for Lundqvist is perfect for him because it's defensive first and he just makes a save
mm-hmm.
and away they go. The problem is they can't score, so if he lets up one goal, they're kind of effed. But I mean, I don't know. I don't get the same. I don't have the same chutzpah when it comes to Lundqvist. I don't know why. I just don't have that same appeal.
You know, I'm more of a Carey Price fan. I'd rather watch. you know, I just Henrik Lundqvist. I'm kind of like, he's good, but he's like sort of how I feel about Chris Osgood. Sometimes when people start asking, "Is he a Hall of Famer?" I'm like, you know,
that Osgood's a slippery
I feel like
slope.
I should shove my mouth full of crackers and go,
Well, you know what? Yeah. When it comes to that, what's that? I'll be right there. Hold on, take this call.
Yeah, basically.
Yager, obviously, Hall of Famer.
Oh,
that's really... And people are pushing for, oh, he should get the Hall call now.
No.
Nope.
No.
He's not Gretzky.
No. He's not Bobby Orr.
He is not that big of a player. He's a big player. Doesn't need to get that...
Big player with big butt.
Right. But he doesn't need to get that kind of push.
No.
Like, he's going to get in, guys.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Like, relax.
Like, this isn't a Rogie Vachon situation.
No.
So don't knock into the thing and don't hit the microphone.
Sorry.
Yeah, so Jager, and I know you hate playing the hypothetical game.
Yeah.
What if those 3 years were spent in the NHL in his prime?
Yeah.
How good could he have, could he have reached Gordy?
Yeah, oh, I think so. Because as it is, he has 1,733 for career games,
mm-hmm.
766 goals, 1,155 assists, 1,921 points. I mean, that's...
Wait, what did Howe have? Did he pass? Is he second all time, Jager?
In
points? For some reason, I want to say yes, because I thought Howe's was 1,851. Or is it Mess at second?
Let's look.
I'm very confused with point totals.
Point totals can be confusing, especially because there's so many things that you're looking at. He had 1,850 points.
Right, because I remember 1851 was what Gretzky broke when he beat, when he scored on Curt McLean. Who is,
so let's look up the...
Let's see the all-time as people.
Jagr's second.
Okay.
Gretzky's first.
Right, of course. Gretzky had more assists than anybody had points.
Yeah.
So.
So it goes Gretzky, Jagr, Messier, Howe.
Mm. Messier, yuck.
Yeah, yeah. I have that reaction.
He's going to make a comeback. Watch. How many points is away is he from Jagr?
Let's look. So Jagr has 1,921 points.
Okay.
Messier has 1,887.
Yeah, no, he's not going to come back.
No.
If
it was like 3 points or something, then he probably
sure,
would.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah.
Because he's a glory hog. Screw Mark Messier. Tired of him. Tired of him. What do we got? Stop.
I hated him. Like back.
Why is that past tense?
I mean, as a player.
I'm just saying in general as a person. I think it all combines into one. He whines about everything. Like, I didn't get the GM job in Edmonton. Yeah. I'm going to go run a
rank. I think he's not used to being told no. Mm. In all honesty, my impression is that he's one of those people who's just not used to people telling him no.
That makes sense.
And his whole life, people have told him that he's wonderful and he's special and he's talented and he's a leader and he's this and he's that. So he's not used to not getting what he wants. He's not used to just walking in and being told that he's not the owner of the place, you know? So I think it's just sheer lifelong conditioning with him.
Mm-hmm.
That he's just never really been told no, or been told that you actually have to work for this, or, you know?
Mm-hmm. We need you to have qualifications. What?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you have to have experience mm-hmm. before you can be an assistant GM.
Right.
But
just be given a job.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what he thinks
sure.
happens, because that's what's always happened.
Of course. Makes sense.
So.
Some Jagr facts. There's plenty. He's had much a big career.
He has.
Much very big career. English is my first language.
Crazy, crazy things about him. Okay, so his family had... well, first of all, he is Jaromir Jagr III.
Because
his dad was Jaromir Jagr. His grandpa was Jaromir Jagr. He wears 68 in honor of his grandpa, who died during the Spring Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only number he's ever worn, and he's the first player to wear 68.
Hmm.
So.
Makes sense.
Not
the only one to wear 68, however.
No, but he was the first one.
Palfy was the other big one.
So, his family had, like, this farm. And when he was 7, he started doing, like, 1,000 squats and 100 push-ups a day with his dad. His dad made, MacGyvered his own weightlifting equipment out of, like, tractor parts and whatever, mm-hmm. scrap metal around the farm, so that he could lift weights. And then he started playing, like, 2-3 years above his level. And he says he's been doing, like, 1,000 squats a day since he was 7, which is just crazy, because I'm thinking about all the lactic acid that builds up and, like, how do you adapt to that? Let's see. What else is there? He was, until recently, a coffee addict.
What made him stop?
He just thought it was probably healthier to stop drinking so much coffee, finally.
I guess.
Although, if it's worked this long, why not go with it?
Right.
I mean, apparently he drank like 11 cups a day.
Wow.
Yeah. He said on the radio one time that, in a radio interview, that he really liked Kit Kats. So fans sent him Kit Kat bars, like... care of the team.
Wow.
And he ate them all. There were like 1,000 some odd. he said he ate them all. he had his own brand of peanut butter.
That's the famous picture of him standing in front of peanut butter.
Yes. He had his own ice cream treat.
Wow.
It was like a little puck, like ice cream in the middle, and it was covered by chocolate on the outside.
Mm.
And yeah, they sold that at the arena in Philly, not Philly,
Pittsburgh.
So he has two of his own foods. He opened the first sports bar in Prague.
That's interesting to me.
Yeah. It's not there anymore, but it was the first sports bar in Prague. It had this really creepy statue of him in it.
Mm.
Like, oh, God, so creepy. He is one of two Czech triple gold
members for Stanley Cup, gold medal, and World Championship.
Yeah. Any idea who the other one is?
God, I'm trying to think of all
the Czech players. You have to go back.
Back. No, I don't know offhand.
Yuri Slager.
See, I was going to say either him, and I was thinking like other guys. I was trying to figure out who, I was decipher who was Czech and who wasn't.
Yeah.
That's like the hard, I was going to say Peter Sikora, but I think he's Slovakian.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I was going to think, I was thinking Slager, and that's that big dumb Jofa helmet number 71 he wore. And he turtleneck kid, too.
When he first came to the States, he was very nervous, and he thought everyone was bigger and stronger than him, and he just wanted to go home. Like, he's like, I just want to go home. I'm not going to make this team. I want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
The fans figured out at one point that if you anagram his name, it spells Mario Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So they went with that for a long time. Like, no pressure, no pressure there, kid, right?
Mm-hmm. But he didn't get his picture taken with penguins, so Lemieux has that up on, one up with him.
There was a stretch of highway between the practice rink, the arena, and his home, where he was infamous for getting stopped for speeding. And so they would write him a ticket, and he would just open his glove box, which was already full of tickets, and he'd just cram it in there and shut it.
Jesus.
And go on his way.
This in the States or in...
This is in Pittsburgh.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And so every once in a while, the highway patrol would call the Penn's front office and be like, could you talk to him about these unpaid tickets? Like, can you take care of this? And no one's quite certain if they were ever paid or not.
Well,
but he just had this, like...
City of too many bridges and not enough law enforcement to enforce actual speeding tickets. Good job, team.
Yeah. He said that the reason why he sped so much was because, A, he was young and stupid. Mm-hmm. B, he was nervous. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to get from point A to point B. So he was just...
That's fair enough.
Yeah. So he just, like, slammed his foot down and go, because he thought it would, you know, faster I get there, the better I am off the road.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Hmm.
His favorite sport is tennis, outside of hockey.
Hmm.
Yeah. I can go on and on and on. Please. And on. Yeah. There's
other ones that stand out, by all means.
Don Cherry got in trouble once for talking about Jagr's mullet.
Mm.
Let me see if I can find the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of there goes Mario and his daughter.
Mm. Oh, grapes. Yeah, the best.
Yeah. There was another time in like 2000, he was getting really like frustrated and pissed off during a game, and so during a break the linesman skated by him and was like, don't worry, you're probably going to be really great someday.
Yeah.
You know, just like these little goofy things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a big supporter of the Children's Hospital in Prague. There were three players between 1980 and 2001. There were three players who won the Art Ross Trophy.
Mm. It was him. It was probably Gretzky and Lemieux.
Yeah, yeah. You got it. Yep. Jagr won four straight from 97 to 2001.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost two decades older than the average age of the NHL players today.
Well, no wonder. I wonder if any blog will do a story about that.
Well, you know, it's odd because they used to complain about Rod Brind'Amour and his like training schedule, and mm-hmm. how they had to like lock him out of the room and whatever.
Yeah.
And now it's done a complete 180.
Mm-hmm.
With Jagr, he had his own keys to the training room and the arena, and he would go and skate at midnight and weighted vests and ankle weights and all these things, and nobody thinks twice about it.
I think it's all about who the team is, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, the Canes are just like, Brad, Jesus, God, that's enough. Christ. We get it, you're fit. Viagra probably doesn't like do any pregame or anything like that. He just shows up and just hangs out, has his coffee, had his coffee, and then away he went.
Yeah.
So, and then that's where he gets in his workout is afterwards.
Yeah.
Ho-hum. Ho-hum for Mr.
I wonder if CrossFit had been a thing back then, like, who would have been the big CrossFit guys?
Mm. Good question.
Probably Recky.
Recky, really?
Yeah. He's always been about health and weightlifting and all of that, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't look like it. Looked like a roly-poly some bitch by the end of his tenure. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who it would have been. Ali Afraidy, maybe.
Yeah.
Ali Afraidy seems like a guy who would bench something while smoking.
We doing CrossFit while smoking. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, Ali Afraidy was up for trying pretty much anything. He was a very open-minded guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so it's fun times with the Army Yami. Oh, Yami.
There's a whole newspaper article, and I misplaced it. I will find it again one of these days. But it's basically a whole article quoting, like, teammates, former teammates, coaches, about his butt.
Mm.
Because apparently the size of his butt was so noticeable that they did, like, a whole newspaper article on it.
Weird things. We did tuck his jersey, so I guess that means something.
But he does have a bubble butt, though. Like,
well, he's got the hockey butt. It happens.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It was, and then Andrew Brunette came into the league, and they started comparing his butt to Jagr's. This is a very strange
this
thing.
Is why the Athletics started. Newspapers can't get their shit together.
It's like that thing needs its own license plate, you know, mm-hmm. like these jokes about the size of their butts. It could shelter a family of four.
You're gonna tag it and bag it, gentlemen.
Yeah. Just goofy stuff.
Anything else before we close out this section?
He's the, if I'm not mistaken, and you could correct me on this because you know more about this than I do, but mm-hmm. I believe he is the final player to retire from the rosters of the 8-bit games.
He is. Somewhat in 16-bit. Not even 8-bit, 16-bit. So the Genesis SNES era all the way to 98, I think it was. So he's the last one to retire from there. Definitely the last one to leave from 94.
Yep.
Nedved was the other one who was playing overseas.
Yeah.
I think there was one more. Can't remember who. I have a list somewhere. But yeah, he was the last of the 16-bit era.
Nedved just came out of retirement for one game.
Just to play him.
Just to play him for one game.
That happens also when you own a team. Roger Dorn the whole thing.
Well, during the 94-95 lockouts, Jagr went over to Germany and played one game for a German team. There's an actual hockey card, even though he played one game for this one team. They decided to include him in the hockey card set. But during this one game, he got one goal and 10 assists.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah. And he once actually said that when he was done with the NHL, he'd go over to China because he'd still be good at that. You know, that meant he was still good at hockey somewhere. Yeah. So.
I wonder if he'll actually do that.
I don't know.
I doubt it. I'm trying to find out if there's a team name. He had a goal this year.
Team what?
The team name for that Germany team.
Oh.
Because shockingly, they don't have it here.
Here it is. Yeah, it was 94-95.
Uh-huh.
It is the Schalke Sharks.
Mm.
S-C-H-A-L-K-E-R. Mm. Yep, one goal, 10 assists.
Wow. It's like, screw it, I'm done.
Yeah.
You guys have fun now.
Yep.
I wonder if that, like, if he stayed in, like, the top 10 in scoring just from that game alone for 11 points in a game.
Well, apparently his 11 points in that game put him ahead of, like, 8 different players on the team.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, and there are a bunch of, like, retrospectives that just come out, and they're mostly really, really boring. So, I don't know. I may have to do Jaromir Jagr Day on his birthday, which is coming up.
There you go.
So, yeah. And, all right. So, he's played 208 playoff games more than the Ducks, Suns, Hurricanes, Coyotes, Lightning, Preds, Wild, Panthers, Blue Jackets, Jets, and of course the Knights. Jagr has the record for most points recorded after age 40, 283. So he passed Howe. Yeah, 2015 was when he scored his hat trick. So it's Lidstrom and Solani. So it was Howe, Lidstrom, and Solani. Mm. Those were the top ones. Hmm. Yeah, so.
That's the end of that chapter.
Yeah.
Thanks for everything, Yammy.
If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here doing this.
Exactly. So you can either thank or not thank him. It depends on how you feel.
Yeah. I actually went to see him play a couple of years ago with Agnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we waited outside the hotel like goobers. And he actually refused to sign. I think, was he playing with the Devils then?
Yeah, most likely.
He refused to sign anything that wasn't like the Devils or like a Czech team.
National team.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But he still signed my Rangers jersey.
Mm.
And I told him, I was like, you know what? This is the first game I took my son to. I wore this jersey because we went to see you play. Mm-hmm. Like, I took my son specifically to see you play. And he got a kick out of that.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
You're the reason the Vegas Golden Knights have freaking restrictions on autographs, too.
Well, we were mostly there to just see him.
Right.
But, you know, the autograph was a nice
touch.
Nice touch, yeah. Yep. And frankly, I'm kind of a fan of these sorts of rules.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think everyone is.
Yeah.
It's easier that way, and they just stop.
Yeah, I see people freaking out, like, oh, you know, they're ruining the fan experience. I'm like, no.
No, what fan experience? You're ruining the kids' experience by having a guy with a binder run over kids.
Those people are so creepy. And I've run into them a couple times at Wild games, and I'm just like, what do you...
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do you do this? Like,
what do you get out of it?
Like, right.
You know?
Right.
I don't know. People are weird.
Yeah. I just, like, I get it. If you're a collector, like, if you're just, you know, say you're a really big Sharks fan and, my God, the one autograph you're missing is Niemi, that's cool, you know.
Sure.
Go to one of the expos or whatever, and fan fests, whatever.
And that's just it, too. Like, you have enough, there's enough opportunities that you can get something.
Right. You don't need to lurk.
Right.
Like, for God's sakes, people, stop lurking. Like, that's just creepy.
I love seeing it at the draft, and it's just like these guys in their backpacks and their binders and stuff. It's like, stop it. Enough of you. I'm tired of this.
It's really awkward. I used to talk to Ryan Stanzel. Used to work for the Wild.
Yeah, I think he's working. I don't know how he's working.
I think he works for a hotel chain or
something
now.
Somewhere in Minnesota.
Yeah, but he always got a kick out of getting onto the bus. It never failed. Some city, there's someone shoving an item at him to sign.
Right.
Like, because they're so busy trying to get the autograph, they don't pay attention
who it is.
To who it is. You know, and he would get sort of a kick out of that, but... Like, dude, if you're that preoccupied that you can't tell the difference between a player
and a media guy,
yeah,
they're pretty easy to pick out. Pretty easy to pick out.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you have plenty of opportunities to get an autograph. Like, mm-hmm. You know.
Right.
Don't be that weird, creepy guy.
Right. Thus concludes our talk about Jaromir Jagr on autographs and don't be a creepy douche. All right. Do we really have anything else to talk about? I don't know. We don't prepare for this anymore. Like, we kind of gave a rundown, and now we're just like, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know.
We sort of pull a topic, and then I talk about it.
Pull it together. I'm like, I don't know what to talk about. What are we talking about? What are we talking about, Terry? Terry! What do you got? Anything lingering?
You know, this is the first year I did not tune into the All-Star game for anything. Like, I didn't even tune in for the skills competition.
Well, we were at a game.
But even if we were at home.
I would have watched.
I don't think I would have particularly paid attention.
We saw the hardest shot, and that was about it.
Yeah, that's about the only one I was maybe interested in. Although, you know, this year they had some of the women's players demonstrate, like before.
They were doing exhibition stuff.
Yeah, so they had like Hillary Knight do the accuracy, and she tore it apart. Sure. So why not next year have mixed matches, like mixed challenges? Pair up some...
Don't give away my blog post for Monday. Because I want them to... Well, this isn't going to come out until after that post is done anyway. So go to ScottyWaz.com if you read my full results. I want them to bring back the old 1970 skills challenge.
Oh, yeah.
From when you had, like, they played it like Maple Leaf Garden. Like, they taped it in this, just after the playoffs or right before the season.
Right.
And they played it throughout the... It's like a 15-minute thing. You can find clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that people love the skills competition so much. Do that. Like, yeah, make a skills competition and make it, like, a platform, like, brackets, and you can play it in intermissions and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, the fastest skater, to me, is not nearly as interesting now that it's a solo run. Like, back when it was a two-person, like, heat, I like that way better.
Well, Johnny brought up a point on the main Faceoff Hockey show this week about why not have every... Like, Barzal wasn't there. And I would say Barzal's just as fast, if not a little faster than McDavid. Why not have all... Because teams do this, too. Teams do their own skills competition throughout the year.
Right.
Why not have the winners of that go represent the teams in the skills competition?
Yeah.
Like...
I'd watch that.
Like, the fact that OB was the only one to get a hardest shot over 100 miles per hour is kind of weak.
Right, whereas... what's his name? Did, like, 101?
Who?
Well, now it's gonna completely blank. But I remember one of the team events.
Oh, okay.
One of the players hit like 101 or 102.
Right.
And I'm like,
Yeah, why aren't you there?
Yeah.
And they only had five people, it seemed, through. I'm like, why are we having this? I mean, the accuracy competition, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The new thing where...
I miss the old styrofoam targets that went kaplooey.
Right, and that's
the drama of it.
That's what we said, too, is like, you can have the LED lights around it. Sure, that's fine. Just have the thing go kaplooey in the front.
Yeah.
And you can make it easy, guys.
You can combine the two.
Right?
It's not that hard.
No. Get an LED light, put styrofoam in the middle. Ta-da.
Like, they've just sucked so much of the drama out of it that...
Remember they had the goalie scoring competition?
Yes!
Like, and they got rid of that? I'm like,
yes!
Stop.
Yeah, no, stop getting rid of the fun.
Yeah. Come on, NHL. Give us what we want. Pure carny BS. That's what we need. But yeah, I'm going to post something about how... If you know what? You need TV ideas. Like, you need to get people. And that skills thing...
It's
fun.
Just, yeah.
You get two tiers. Like, you have the players having one tier, and you have the goalies having another tier. Like, it works perfectly. You can film it. You can film it before the season, like, right when training camp... When they do that media stuff before training camp.
Right.
Do it then. Like, why is that not?
You have everyone in one place, right?
Right.
Why not?
I can't take you seriously right now with the way your hair looks.
I know. I keep playing with it.
I know. It's just like, it looks like, I don't know, something. it looks like Mom from Mom's Robots.
Sorry.
Like, it's big, the two big poofs up there like that. I cannot take you seriously. That's why I'm kind of turning my table, so I can turn my chair. So I can't see you. But yeah, no, bring that stuff back.
Yeah.
Card packs, card packs, card packs, card packs. Card packs. Making up theme songs. I don't know. Super Bowl, I think, is still going on. Here we are. Dirk Graham.
The first black player to captain a team, I believe.
Yep, you are correct. Oh, this beauty with a bucket. David Volek. That flat bucket. My God.
I think that bucket is the fact about him.
Yeah, right? Rod Langway.
Found out about his trade to the Caps on the radio.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's also the last time he wore a helmet was with the Canadiens. It's really weird seeing him in a helmet. Prospect Dominic Lavallee. Probably nothing.
Nope.
Bruce Horford.
Mm-hmm.
No Flyers goaltender. Nothing. Wes Walls.
He's a high school hockey coach now.
Mm. God, I hate when Canada wore those blue pants.
Yes.
Doesn't make a bit of sense. Stefan Fisse.
Is it young Fisse?
Oh, it's Quebec Nordique Fisse with the beauty white pads.
Is he the one we have the picture where he looks like Andy Samberg?
He does look like Andy Samberg. Like, it's Like, just in life, he looks like him.
He really does.
Like, hey, guys.
Todd Krieger.
Yeah.
Coach for Western Michigan now.
Yeah.
Troy Murray. Mm. Andrew McBain.
Mm.
Canucks.
Is he the one who played for the Sens as well?
He might have, yes.
Let me see.
He played with the Penguins as well in 1989-90.
Let me see if this is the person I'm thinking of.
Okay. Andrew McBain.
Scarborough?
Scarborough, Ontario. Bruised, battered, and scarred, but hard.
Yes, he... Okay, so the Sens' first season was really terrible, right?
Really?
Like really...
Go on.
So terrible that when ESPN put together, like, their highlight reel, the only Sens-related thing that made any sort of highlight reel was him falling down the stairs at Chicago Stadium. Yeah. Because he got ejected for a game, and yeah, so that was him.
Ken Reggett? Yeah. Reggers.
You know, I should have a story about him. I don't off the top of my head.
Okay. Randy Wood.
No.
Sylvain Terjean.
Younger brother of Pierre.
Yep. Also went into the house building world after his career was over.
Hmm.
Cardell Holmes in Calgary. Well, I knew that because it's my...
Oh! What? Reggett was first penalty shot ever awarded during the overtime period in playoff history.
He defended against it?
Yeah, he stopped Juno.
Oh, Joey Juno. Yep. John Agronik. Agronik? Is that how you say it?
Agronik, yeah. Agronik. He was sort of a tough guy.
Tough guy.
Yeah.
And Craig Janney.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, pack number the deuce. It'd be great if this had gum in it. See how stale that stuff was. Thomas Steen.
Went into politics.
I was going to say, he was an MP in Winnipeg, I believe.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Hey, another Dirk Graham, another David Folek, another Rod Langway. Jesus. Sergei Makarov. The 75-year-old Rookie of the Year in 1990.
The reason why they changed the rule.
Yeah.
They also said that he never met a hot dog he didn't like.
Well, him and I have something in common, then. We're both old rookies, and we love hot dogs. Bill Ranford.
There's a story about him and Grant Fuhr. He's one of the teammates that Grant Fuhr made go mini golfing with him because he couldn't go regular golfing because there was a blizzard. So.
Oh, Jesus. Grant, you can have days off, man. Like, it's fine. It's not going to help or hinder your handicap.
You know, what's the giant mall in Edmonton?
The West Edmonton Mall.
The West Edmonton Mall had a mini golf course, yeah. And he during a snowstorm, that's where he took all his teammates and made them go mini golfing with him.
Wow. Weirdo. Yari Curry.
Learned English from the TV show Happy Days. Not kidding.
Wow. Is that why he called Steve Smith Potsy all the time? Like, is that why he told Glenn to stay there up your nose? No, that was Mr. Beck. That was Mr. Cotter. Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Surprising he didn't score a goal and go, hey!
Hey! Snaps his... He tried to turn a jukebox back on.
Sit on it!
He was out to 6 weeks because he broke his hand.
Yeah, no, he said a couple times in interviews that he learned English from Happy Days.
Hmm. Chris Terreri. I think I had the story about him in Providence College with the water bottle.
Yep, that's the go-to story about him.
Darren Turcotte?
Nah.
Dean Evason?
Eh.
Basil McRae?
What a nut bar.
Co-starred in The Mighty Ducks?
He's kind of a crazy dude.
Yeah,
like,
looks like it. Well, if your name was an herb, I'm sure you'd be freaking...
Well, he was kind of an enforcer, right? Like, he was kind of a Ty Domi tough guy type.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just get into these antics and... chase people around the ice, and just kind of a crazy, like, dude, sure. What are you doing? Yeah. Like, stop. There are a bunch of his fights online that you can watch and just be like, dude, mm-hmm. stop.
Well, he took it up another notch. Neil Broughton.
Nah.
Bob Rouse.
Nah.
Tom Curvers.
I want to say he's coaching now, too.
Probably. Luke Robitaille.
The day of his draft, he was getting nervous because he hadn't been drafted.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept eating hot dogs.
Nice.
He had like 8 hot dogs before his name was called.
Yeah.
And then he got really nervous and he was worried he was going to throw up.
Nice. Good job, Luke. That's how we got the name Lucky Luke, everybody. All right. That's that. We've done it on our show. In the bag. Where can they find you at?
NHL History Girl.
Do you get stuff for coming up for the sporting news?
No.
Okay.
I have to come up with something.
You'll figure something out, I'm sure.
Yeah. The problem is I started grad school.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm just like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Had a balanced life.
Yeah. Makes yeah. sense.
You can find me at Scotty Wands. You can find the show at SDR Strong Bubble. Patreons. Ha, I forgot. I knew I forgot something. Keep forgetting the Patreon because, I don't know, we're trying to revamp it. We don't know what the hell we're doing with this Patreon thing. We appreciate everyone who puts it out there. If you want to become a patron, you can go ahead and, give us some love. Faceoff Hockey, patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow. Why can't I get to anything? They could, you know what? Patreon, make your stuff a little easier to navigate. That'd be fantastic if you could. Let me see if I can. I'll bring it up here on the computer here. Phil. where is it?
Might have to do some Black History stuff.
Oh, we can do that next show. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just kind of get away from the Willie O'Ree thing because that's kind of.
Yeah, we'll talk more about like Mike Marston.
Yeah, Mike Marston.
Alton White. Tony McKegney.
Marston was a crazy cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you to our Patreon people. Brian, Damon, Mark, Trista, Matthew, Ethan, Chris, Mitch, Angela, and Sean. Thank you, guys. We appreciate your support. And if you want to help support us, go to patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow and give as much or as little as you want, please. By all means, every little bit helps. Does stuff for travel, does stuff for, I don't know, just making things, huh?
Production,
yeah, make things sound gooder. And yeah, all of it goes back into the show, so we got that going for us. All right, so for Jen, I'm just going to take care of yourself and someone else. Has been the Side of Stern Bubble on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction Blog, powered by Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time through. Bye.